Was that you on the trumpet this morning, Brother Tom?
Sorry.
No, yes. No, this is not. I wanted to thank you for playing, following up Holiness Unto the Lord with a resurrection song. I heard that and I said, there it is. You know, that's why we celebrate Sunday. That's why we celebrate today as the Lord's Day. Because the day, the first day of the week, that Jesus rose from the dead. And so every Sunday when we gather to worship, we are, in effect, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, that's what sets Christianity apart from any other religion. It is the resurrection. You know, when the apostles went in the book of Acts and they went out into the world preaching the gospel, yes, they talked about the cross, but if you know anything about the Roman world, Jesus was not the only one who got crucified. There were many, thousands who were crucified throughout the empire. But there was only one who came back to life. There's only one who was resurrected. The one who in Revelation says, I am alive forevermore. I was living, I was dead, but now I'm alive. I am alive forevermore. And that life is what we celebrate this morning. And that life is what Jesus wants to impart into each one of us. It's a life that is eternal, but it's an eternal life that begins now to all those who are in Christ Jesus. And as we were sitting here, Brother Paul is playing. I always enjoy listening to Brother Paul play. It's nice when I don't have to play. But I thought of that, that he just was playing that song, He Giveth More Grace, written by Annie Johnston Flint. We're not going to sing it. I have another song. But I thought, He giveth more grace through His infinite riches in Jesus. He giveth and giveth and giveth and giveth and giveth again, over and over. And you might think, well, this lady, she must have had a nice, easy life to be able to write something like that. But you know what? She actually had a terrible life. Her health was horrendous. I read an autobiography of her. Just the condition that she was in was just almost not to be discussed in polite circles. But you know what her biography is called? You know what it's entitled? It's entitled The Making of the Beautiful. The Making of the Beautiful. And here this woman who suffered so much in her life and in her body, she could write, out of His infinite riches in Jesus, when our stores are just exhausted, our fathers have just begun. He giveth and giveth and giveth again. God wants to give to you. He wants to give to me. He wants to give us more of that life, more of His power, more of His fullness. That's what we've been hearing at camp for over 70 years now. God has more for us. There's more in Jesus. And so accept from Him today. And as I was listening to those, these are all thoughts that were just running through my mind as I was listening and just waiting on the Lord. I thought of how after the resurrection, there was a group, they were gathered. They were gathered in the upper room. They were gathered together. Now, I know you're all thinking, I'm going to Pentecost. Not yet. That's coming in a little while. But it says that Jesus came and He stood. He stood right in the midst. And He said, peace, peace be unto you. And He breathed on them. He breathed on them. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. And my son said to me, Dad, you know, I don't think my ears have quite adjusted because, you know, we're up high, you know, where we live, where our house stands is a couple feet below sea level, which is why we get a lot of floods. We don't get too excited when it floods. But then Sandy came along and 6.5 feet of water, that's a little bit different. But we're used to being down low, right at sea level. But he said, I don't know if they've quite adjusted. Well, here we are. We've come up. We're in the upper room, as it were, for at least for us, in more ways than one. But let the Lord walk into this place. He is here. Just in your mind's eye, just see Him standing here. Let Him breathe on you. Receive. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit this morning. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive His work. Receive His power into your life and allow our risen Christ to do for you exactly what He wants to do. What we often say in our church, let Him do what only He can do in your life. And so if you don't mind, I would like to sing a song about the resurrection. To begin, let's sing page 106, He Lives Within My Heart. 106 in the hymnal, the brown book, Hymns of Glorious Praise. We're going to sing something out of the white book a little bit later. But let's sing this together. And if you don't mind, if you're able, why don't we stand? As my congregation has gotten a little older, I say that now. If you're able, let's stand. Let's sing it.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. I know of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. Lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
The Lord. Jesus, we worship You, Lord. We worship You, Lord. We worship You, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. We worship You. We worship You, Lord Jesus. We worship You. We worship You, Lord Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, oh hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, thank you Jesus, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let me ask our brother George to pray with us this morning, please.
Praise the Lord. Father, we do thank You and praise You that we can be here in Your house, in this upper room. Thank you for Your presence here. Lord, come. Help us, Lord, to worship You, to focus upon You, Your
Jesus,
goodness, Your mercy, Your grace, grace that is upon each one.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, You offer much to us, and Lord, help us to be takers, to receive from You this morning. Lord, for the journey that's ahead, Lord, we need Your help. We need Your strength. We need Your grace every moment. And we just thank You, Lord, today. We thank You, Lord, that You are here by Your Spirit, Lord. Pour out Your Spirit. Let it go forth in our midst. Accomplish Your will in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Before Jesus was crucified, he spoke to his disciples in the upper room. At least in our church, it's one of the favorite passage, John 14, 15, 16, when Jesus talks to his disciples, lets them know that he's going away. He said, I'm going to leave. I have to go away. But he says, I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the Advocate, the Comforter, the one who's going to come, and he's going to be with you forever. He's going to teach you. He's going to bring things to your remembrance. He's going to help you to understand just what this is all about. You know, the disciples never really quite grasped the whole thing. You know, Jesus taught them, but they were like us. They were a little slow, a little thick, you know. You know, they really weren't educated men, but, you know, you don't have to go to school to be sharp. I know some people who never went on to real higher levels of education, yet they're very, very sharp. They figure things out quickly, very perceptive. But the disciples just couldn't quite grasp everything that Jesus was telling them because so much of it was so spiritual and they were so naturally minded. You know, even after Jesus was resurrected from the dead, even in the book of Acts, Jesus is talking to them and they still have their own ideas about what he's trying to do. Lord, are you now going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Is this it now? Is this what's going to happen? Now you're going to do what we expected you to do, what we really thought this was all about? Of course, the Lord had to straighten him out just a little bit. He said, but when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll reveal these things to you. And when do we see them? When do we see them boldly proclaiming? When do we see them going out into the world to preach the gospel at the hazard of their own lives? After the Holy Spirit came. When that rushing mighty wind came on the day of Pentecost, that just drove the reality of the resurrection home and in their lives and made Christ real, not just in front of them where they could touch him and talk to him, but within them. So that as they spoke, it was not them, but it was Jesus. It was Christ. Now, they didn't have all the answers. They didn't have it all figured out. Not just as we don't. None of us has it all. You know, we don't all have the tiger by the tail, you know. We don't have, you know, who was it? Frank Sinatra had Life by a String, Sitting on a Rainbow, and all those things. I know you're not familiar with any of those songs. But, you know, we don't all have it all figured out. But our Lord does. And the Holy Spirit guides us each and every day. And I want to encourage us today as we allow that risen Christ to minister to us. As I said, just let him breathe. Let the Holy Spirit breathe on you. Work on you. Do his work in your life. Jesus knew his disciples needed the Holy Spirit. He says, you've got to have the Holy Spirit. I have to go away. Because when I go away, then I'll be able to send the Comforter. He will be with you forever. And I'll be there too. When you read those chapters, you read the upper room. Talk about the upper room. Maybe that's why it's in my mind so much. You read those, you realize Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they're just so intertwined in that talk that Jesus gives to them, those final words. He says, the Holy Spirit will come. He'll make me known to you. Well, my Father's going to come too. We're going to make our abode with you. You can't have one without the other. When you get one, you get us all. It's a package deal. And we let the Holy Spirit in. He makes the risen Christ real to us. Yes. And he brings us into fellowship with the Father. It's like that eternal relationship. I explained it in our congregation. I explained it like the three of them live in an eternal hug, as it were. But when we invite the Holy Spirit in, it's as if he just reaches out and says, come on. And we're pulled into that embrace as well. And we have fellowship with him. And he brings us all in. And we not only have fellowship with the Father and the Son by the Holy Spirit, but then we also have fellowship with each other. I trust that for our staff, that as they're just drawn into that fellowship, that the Lord, as we've heard, I think it was you, Sister Mary, talked about that. He'll just draw you together. Not just because you like each other or you get along or you see things the same way. You might not. You might not. We're all different. But when we're drawn into that eternal embrace of the triune God, he unites us. He gives us what we need. He makes us what we ought to be. Let him do that for you this morning. I don't know if we have any testimonies. I'd love to hear from you, something maybe from last night or a thought as we go on into this new week. But could we sing yet? I'm sorry, Brother Paul. I saw you sneaking over there. I know you thought I was going to talk for a while. I can be long-winded. I'm sorry. I apologize. 118 in our hymnal. 118, the Comforter has come. Let's sing it together, shall we? And then let's worship. If there are any testimonies, I'd love to hear from you. If others have a word for the Lord, please share it with us. Feel free. One of my favorite verses in all of hymnody is in this song. See if you can figure out which one it is.
Oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found, wherever human hearts and human woes abound. Let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise came. Oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found.
Sing the second verse. All the ladies. Verse 2.
The long, long night is past. The morning breaks at last. Hushed the dreadful wail and fury of the blast. As o'er the golden hills the day advances fast. The Comforter.
Gentlemen, sing the third verse.
Lo, the great King of Kings, with healing in his wings, to every captive soul a full deliverance brings. And through the vacant cells the song of triumph rings. The
Let's sing the chorus all together.
The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise came, and sent the tidings round.
Fourth verse.
Oh, boundless love divine, how shall this tongue of mine to wandering mortals tell the matchless grace divine, that I, a child of hell, should in his image shine. The promise came. Now spread the tidings round wherever man is found. The Comforter has come.
Let's sing that chorus again.
The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the promise give. Now spread the tidings round wherever man is found. The Comforter has come.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, O God. Jesus, we give glory to your name. We give glory to your name. We give glory to your name. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. 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 If you don't know what to say, I encourage you to pick one of the lines from that song. Was there a phrase in that song that struck you, that excites your heart, your spirit? And I'll double down on the deal. If you pick the same one that's my favorite, tomorrow I'll treat you to a Sunday at the Boathouse. Come, let's share.
Thank you.
I was thinking of that phrase that I, a child of hell, should in his image shine. And I had to think of all the days that I wasted where I wasn't in the Lord's image, where I couldn't because I was in the world. Thank God that he pulled me up. Saw me plunged in deep distress and flew to my relief.
Yes.
And how thankful I am for that. I've never regretted that I have given myself totally to the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. They talk about people achieving things in this world, and they talk about an office view, the corner office. Well, I had a corner office on Wall Street. I was telling someone recently that I was far from the Lord at that time, but the Lord, somehow I reached pretty high. Sounds like I'm bragging. I'm not. There's a point to what I'm saying. But I remember that I had gotten a promotion. I was on Wall Street working for a brokerage house. And I remember that my mom was praying for me constantly. And I remember that they announced my promotion in the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal, I forget. Quarter page advertisement. Paul Munsinger, promoted to vice president, whatever. And mentioned it to my mom. She said, oh, that's nice. That was the extent of her joy, because she wanted me to come back to the Lord. And I regret some of those days, I regret all of those days that I did not live for the Lord, but that he drew me back into himself. And oh, that joy of the Lord when we can look to him to change us. I mentioned the other day how in school, we'd stand around the lab table looking for that change, the Bunsen burner, that test tube turning from a liquid to a gas or from one color to the other, that change that we look for. And all that, the Lord does that. He changes us from one glory into another, into his own image. And how I thank him for that.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Brother Jim, I
heard you. Verse 2 of the song makes me think of a lot what Brother Paul was just saying. The long, long night has passed. The morning breaks at last. And hush the dreadful wail and fury of the blast. I was searching all my life for 40 years for what I didn't know. And I was going from failure to failure to failure to failure. And the good Lord was with me then. I knew about Jesus. I did not know Jesus. And I was not ready to live that life. And he allowed me to live the life I was living and still able to speak about it today. He had mercy. He had grace. And that day, 40 years later, I got sick and tired of living in this world the way it was, the way everything was turning out. Success, for a while, meant nothing. Love meant nothing. Friends meant nothing. It was all about me. And then one day, something tragic happened to the fact that God got into my heart, to the fact that I could no longer live this way. And I cried out to God, and I said, I'm sick and tired of living this way. Either change my life or take my life. I cannot live this way any longer. And I said that not in an audience of anybody but God, crying tears, and that was the beginning. And that was some 37 years ago. And I know the way, His way, and I know the enemy's way. And I will stay in His way as long as I have breath. And like I said, the song said, the long, long night is past. That's what I considered where I was. And the morning breaks at last, and it finally broke. Praise God.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Do we have a choir number, Brother Paul?
Yes, we do.
Can we have that at this time? Thank you. A choir here from you.
Lord, if you still have a testimony or something, feel free.
few years ago in our Sunday night service, we actually spent 4 weeks going through that. We're going to sing, Brother Paul. Save you a little exercise over there. We went through that song. We studied every verse, every biblical allusion we could find, every scriptural reference that we could get a hold of. And, you know, some of you know I played football a long time ago. But one day, one evening while we were talking about, we were going through some of these thoughts, all of a sudden something hit me, and I shared this with the choir and with all of us. Next time you sing that song, whenever it may be, people are going to look at you a little funny, but here's how I feel in my spirit. That song was written, and you did a beautiful job, so this is nothing critical. I'm just sharing this thought with you. As you were singing, I was listening, and of course we referenced that song last night. Thank you, Brother Isaac, for singing that song. It's a special, special song to me. Sing it like you're in a fist fight. Does that make any sense to you? Have you ever really paid attention to the words of that song? Some of you old timers know, you can tell I was raised by my mother and my father, of course, but you know my mother was always like, look at the words of that song. She always used to yell that. Remember, Brother Paul? Look at the words of that song. You read the words of that song sounds like you're in a fist fight. A spiritual battle, more stern, will grow the conflict as nears our king's return. That's about getting knocked around. That's about the enemy coming against you with everything he's got, going after you with both barrels, all guns blazing. And how does it end? Let in the overcomer, and he will conquer thee. Let him win. He will win the victory. But you know what? That doesn't mean we just sit back and sit on our rocking chair. Lord, victory for me. Lord, squeak, squeak, victory for me. No. Let him in. That's why he's got to come in. Because he wants to win the victory through us. As we go on throughout the week, can't talk about Revelation without talking about the overcomers. Got to talk about the overcomers. Because we win. We win. I was last year with my family. We went to see a contemporary Christian group. And they wrote a recent song. I'm sure maybe some of you may be familiar with it. But the song is written. It sounds like a soccer match. Sounds like, you know, when you're at a soccer match, I don't know if anybody, I'm not a big soccer fan, but even I get a little caught up in the World Cup. And even I know this song. Ole, 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 ole. Everybody's sitting there looking at me like, yeah, anybody? Brother, Sister Mary, you and I, we know it, okay. We're the only one who paint our faces and sing ole, ole. Huh? Brother, your husband, you got to get him in. No, I mean, I like, he plays it. But it's written like that. It was meant to sound like one of those songs with a crowd. And you know what it says? It talks about all of the struggles, all of the challenges, the battle, the warfare, as we said. We're going to hear about that so much because Revelation is so filled with this. But you know what the chorus says? We win. Is that disrespectful to God? I know here Christ is all in all. God is all in all. I'm supposed to be nothing. But I got news for you. We win. His victory is our victory. We failed. We fell. The second Adam came and defeated Satan so that through us, Satan might ultimately be cast off. I know Jesus has to do it. We're nothing. We're nothing. But we were created. Brother George and I were talking about this morning, I think it was, or last night. I forget now, Brother George. I'm getting old. These conversations start to run together. But do you realize that our story as human beings doesn't start with the fall? It doesn't start with the fall. Too often it does. We just talk about the fall. We're sinners. We're sinful. We fell. It's not how we were created. We were created that way. We were created in the image of God. We were created to reflect His glory, to demonstrate His glory on this earth, to walk this planet with the same authority as the Creator. Adam and Eve saw God face to face. Now, because of sin, no one can see him face to face and live. They did. They did. They talked with him. They walked with him. He came in the cool of the evening into the garden. And like when your kids are small and you haven't seen them in a while, and you come home, they come running to you. Daddy's home! Or mom. They came running because they were his children. They were created in his image. That's our story. That's who we were created to be. And that is the restoration which Jesus Christ is working out in each one of our lives. That's why the Holy Spirit has come into us and enters into our lives to restore us back. And one day, you and I are going to shine with that same glory. We're going to see him as he is, and we are going to be like him. I think we downplay that verse sometimes. I know we know what it means, but I don't know if we take it at its fullness. It means when we see him, we're going to be like him. We are going to bear his image fully, completely. That's our future. That's where we're going. That's been assured for us by Christ through his cross, his resurrection, and his ascension. That is ours. That's our birthright. That's what we have been given. That is what has been sealed in us by the Holy Spirit, which we're going to talk about in just a moment or two. Our future is this. We win. You know why? Because he won. He won. And he gives that victory to each one of us. And it's done by his Spirit. This meeting all dovetails so beautifully, which you're going to see in just a few moments. Could we sing one more song? Was there anyone yet who had a testimony? I want to make sure. I want to cut you off.
Yeah, I just want to thank
Good. Come on, Brother Tom.
I just want to thank the Lord for all his help that he has given this season to me.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. We pray for you so much, Brother Tom, even when we're at home, even when we're not here, and our hot water works at home. We pray for our Brother Tom. Come on. Sure. Come.
I just want to thank the Lord for the help he's given me, too.
Yes.
It's been unusual. I know we've only been here about 10 days, but I felt great help from the Lord. And I recently heard, just a week or so ago, that Brother Gardner used to say, what does grace mean? And it came to me as we heard that. He gives more grace, he gives more grace. And Brother Gordon Gardner said that we could interpret that as help.
Yes.
Grace means help. And I thought, as we heard Brother Paul play on the organ, instead of he giveth more grace, he giveth more grace, I thought, the Holy Spirit's called the helper.
That's
He's
right.
going to give more help this week.
Absolutely.
And I claimed it for you counselors too, because I have a grandson coming. First time he's ever been at camp tomorrow, and I am so excited. I'm praying for you. I'm believing you to be filled with great help for these boys.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. We do believe it. We are praying. We're going to continue to pray for the counselors, and of course we'll have a special service for them before the boys come. I always find it a little nerve-wracking when someone who knows someone who's coming up says, I'm praying for you.
No. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to take your morning offering at this time. As you know, on Sunday morning, it is the only offering that is taken at camp, and it goes toward the fund, the camp fund. So we'll do that at this time. And let's sing. Page 424, Victory All the Time. Not just once in a while or on a good day. Victory all the time. Let's sing it together. And we'll take your morning offering at this time. Praise the Lord. Together, let's sing.
They who know the Savior.
power shall in him be strong, mighty in the conflict of the right against wrong. 'Tis the blessed promise given in God's word, doing wondrous exploits they who know the Lord. Victory, victory, blessed blood, what victory, 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 victory all the time. As Jehovah liveth, strength divine he giveth. In the midst of battle, be thou not dismayed, though the powers of darkness against thee are arrayed. God, thy strength is with thee, causing thee to stand. Heaven's allied armies wait at thy command. Victory, victory, blessed blood bought victory. Jehovah liveth, strength divine he giveth, unto those who know him, victory all the time. Brave to bear life's testing, strong the foe to meet, walking like a hero midst the furnace heat, doing wondrous exploits with the Spirit's sword, winning souls for Jesus, praise, oh praise the Lord. Victory, victory, precious blood bought victory, 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 victory all the time. As Jehovah liveth, strength divine he giveth, unto those who know him, victory all the time.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Dory, I didn't forget. I'm still going to tell you which line of that song we sang before is my favorite. We didn't hear it yet, so I'm safe. Although I said if Brother Jim won it, I guess he's got a connection down the boathouse. I probably wouldn't have to treat him. Are you guys doing the boathouse this year? I haven't. No, not the boathouse this year. Who's doing the boathouse? Oh, okay. We got to change up. Elizabeth is. All right. I remember. All right. Well, that's okay. But I'll tell you in a moment. But no one guessed it, although, Brother, that's neck and neck. I, a child of hell, should in his image shine. I love phrases and words that just evoke an image in your mind about the morning, the day advances fast. I love that too. So it's getting narrowed down, but I'll share it with you in a moment.